Hello and welcome to the Nourish Practice podcast, a podcast focused on all things intuitive eating, intuitive movement, and helping you heal your relationship to food while moving away from diet culture in hopefully a nice, relaxed way. There'll be a mixture of solo episodes and guest interviews. Any topics you would like included, just send me a DM on Instagram at Nourish Practice, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. So as you would have seen from social media or just from the title, we have hit 50 episodes, which I consider quite a big milestone, as with anything, starting a podcast is putting yourself out there. So super happy we've reached this. And in that time, we've managed to chat to 11 amazing guests. Now, a big thing that I believe in is learning from those who've been in the space longer than you, have different areas of interest, and ultimately probably know more in various avenues. So I sort of wanted to compile some of their answers to the finisher question from the podcast, which is, what is one piece of advice you would give someone to improve their relationship with food and or movement today? So do enjoy. I've put all their details below, so give them a follow and tell them that you listen to them on the podcast.
Oh lordy, I'm not prepared for this. I should be. The one piece, if I could only do one. Okay, if a gun to the head, only one piece of advice. For, I would just say, take a moment, take a deep breath, tune into your tummy and just ask it, what does it want? What would it like to be really comfortable for the next few hours? If they can just keep doing that over and over again, they'll probably get 80% of the way there. It's a good start.
I think, especially given the context I'm coming from, I think kind of being kind to yourself, would be my top piece of advice. There's quite there can be a bit of rhetoric in the fitness industry of kind of like, just kind of get on with it. If you really wanted to, you would like just move more, eat less, all this kind of very harsh harsh kind of advice that is much more simple than we are as human beings, and definitely through kind of learning more about trauma-informed practice and things like that, I've learned that we are complicated as people and we face many barriers that we might not be aware of that we're facing to exercise and movement. So being kind to ourselves on our journeys with movement and not letting that kind of guilt and shame that can take over, especially with how some people understand movement to be, would be my advice. I think it would be
to define what that means to them, because I know what it means now that I'm in it, but 10 years ago, if someone said have a good relationship to food, I wouldn't know what that meant. I'd be like, I don't know what that means. Maybe because like, I just wasn't in this like space. I wasn't in this world. But if someone said that to me then, I'd be like, I don't know what that means. So I think it would be defining what that means for you. So it might mean, like I said, it might mean having energy, being able to like work, have conversations with people, being able to have fun. So I think it would be defining what that means. By, you could do that by really like thinking about what your values are. So if you value fun or joy or family, it might be like, okay, how can I improve my relationship to food in the like drive to have better connection to my values. So I think that's how I think that's what I'd say.
That is so good. I'm gonna do one of each here. So for someone who wants to improve their relationship with food, the first thing I would say to start focusing on, that is not easy to do, but is a great starting point, is stop labeling foods as good and bad. Don't give food any sort of moral value. You are not good for having a salad and you are not bad for having a cookie. And the more we can look at food as neutral, that is one of the greatest ways to start really amplifying your intuitive eating journey. So I would say no good or bad foods, food is neutral. And then movement, you know, I would say just start where you are. Don't look at what anybody else is doing. Don't be discouraged by your, you know, mile or kilometer pace. You know, don't worry about it. Nobody really cares how fast you are running. They're also worried about what they're doing. And so just find joy in the movement and don't, you know, you can run without a watch. You can, you know, whatever it takes, but don't focus on the numbers. Just go out there for enjoyment.
Be sure that for me, self-awareness is always the most important piece. Answer this question. What does food mean to me? And really look at your answer. If very often when women are at the beginning of their journey with food, they'll say food is what makes me gain weight, right? Is what makes my body not look the way that I want. So look at what food means to you. And the meaning of it is completely optional to each one of us. And it's that moving you towards your goal. That would be my answer to that.
I would say kindness. Just be kind to yourself. I always, that always comes up with people, you know, there will be great days and we can celebrate that and we can celebrate the wins. And there can be really hard days and it can feel like you're going backwards after taking 10 steps forwards. And again, like we said, it's all a process, and remaining kind to yourself, remaining, speaking to yourself how you'd speak to somebody that you love is so important during this process, because it's very easy to hit a roadblock and want to just throw it all out the window and give up. But if you can remain kind and compassionate to yourself, practicing those skills is probably a really big aspect of improving your relationship with food that we don't talk about enough. But yeah, I would say kindness. Remain kind, give yourself time, be patient, and once you get out the other side, it's going to be a whole new world.
Say, well, you have to start from somewhere. And well, usually for people, the easiest pillar to start with is the physical, because I don't know, I think physical movement really helps you understand, helps you build more body awareness. And when you have great body awareness, you tend to understand different aspects of your life. So for example, you understand if I'm eating this type of food, it makes my stomach hurt, so maybe I should do that less. And you know, for example, if I'm hanging out with this person, it makes me feel this type of way. Do I like that way this person makes me feel, and is it worth for me to keep this relationship? So yeah, I think I would say start with like physical fitness, find the type of exercise that you enjoy and really build on that body awareness, because that is the fundamentals to everything. And I mean, I do love neurology. I've been studying that a lot. I'm not an expert, but what I can say is learn your pathways, learn your patterns, and break out of those patterns. Mm-hmm. Allow your body to do different things, because that's when you get unstuck. And that's when you get to be the best version of yourself. So get out of your limiting beliefs. And it's hard, you know, because once you get out of those limiting beliefs and those pathways that you usually have, it feels uncomfortable, it feels scary, and it feels like your body's against you. But actually, like, our bodies are so amazing. Like, all the brain is trying to do is protect you. Like, that's all it's trying to do. So the reason why it feels unsafe to get better, it's because you've been so comfortable in a certain path that once you get out of it, your brain is like, hold up, like, we're not done this before, like, what is going on? But it's not a bad thing, it's just, you know, our brains are very primitive. So get out of this limiting belief, feel uncomfortable, and once after you get out of this uncomfortable feeling, you'll actually see a better spectrum.
I think I would try to focus on mindset, and I would say focusing, not like changing your mindset from focusing on weight to focusing on health. You know, stop thinking about dieting in the traditional way, but think about what you can add instead of what you can remove. You know, how can you make your life better and make you feel better by what you can add to your diet, and how can you improve your health in that way?
Yeah, I think this kind of fits with what we talked about earlier about like restriction and kind of plant-based eating, whether you're doing it for the right reasons. But if you're eating in a certain way, you're not eating some food, like whether you're out and there's like a bit of chocolate and you're saying, I'm not having that, asking yourself why, whether you think it's because it's something that you've been taught to do, whether it's something that you've convinced yourself that you don't like, it's kind of a form of restriction. Whatever the rule is, trying to kind of debunk that and just asking yourself why to really hone in.
Question is, it's a tricky one. It's a good one, but it's tricky for me because there's so much that you can do, and it depends where you're kind of at with your non-diet journey or whatever you want to call it. But for me, you know, and especially like, I have to plug it now, but we do have our book in Eating Intuitively for PCOS. If you have PCOS, then our intuitive eating book is only $4.99 on Amazon, and it's a great resource for understanding how you can incorporate the intuitive eating pillars into a PCOS management plan. But I think really here, the one piece of advice, if you're just right at the beginning and getting started, is just unfollowing those people that make you feel rubbish. I think this is one of the quickest and easiest things we can do. And I know it can be difficult with an algorithm. So if you're more on TikTok, that can be really difficult because you're not necessarily picking what you're being pushed. But at the same time, if you start unfollowing those people, scrolling past those more problematic, you know, posts, TikTok will understand that you don't want to see that. I barely see anything like that on TikTok anymore just because I trained it. So, and you know, doing the same with Instagram, just unfollowing those people who make you feel bad, who talk about food in that, you know, restrictive, obsessing way, or body shame or any of that stuff. I would just start there because it's almost like out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, I think, with that stuff as well. Because if you're just constantly seeing it, you're just constantly thinking about it. So if we can remove ourselves from it a little bit, I think that's a great place to start.
I think it kind of goes back to that last question. It's really reflecting on what are kind of the things that you'd like to change with your relationship with food. Don't be looking at other people and how they've approached it and what they've achieved with their relationship with food. Don't be putting pressure on yourself to love food all the time and have no issues with food and have this perfect relationship with food, because most people, that's not realistic, depending on where you're starting from. So figure out where your starting point is and think about changes that are going to be significant for you. So whether it's someone who is like always calorie tracking and wants to try something different, maybe deleting the app from your phone so you're not getting notifications every couple of hours to log something. Maybe it's unfollowing people online who kind of make you feel bad about yourself or the way that you're eating or the way that you look. It's really just going to come down to what's going to make the difference for you and what's going to get you to the things that you really want to achieve.
Here's to hopefully another 50 episodes. Any guest speakers that you would like, any requests of topics, do send me a message on Instagram @nourishedpractice.